a 4 o'clock first pitch with a 3:30 pregame. Ben Wagner, Mike Wilner, Arden Zwelling on the call today. So we'll talk some Blue Jays coming up in a few moments' time. We'll take a look around Major League Baseball as the playoff races are heating up. The Oakland A's continue to get the job done in the AL West right now, still trying to chase down the Astros, of course, but they are looking pretty good right now. We'll get into some other storylines surrounding Erik Karlsson. We'll talk about Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson as they got their big matchup coming up, and we'll get into some NFL as well and Toronto FC. But did you guys ever watch Cops growing up? My dad's a massive fan of that show. I mean, it's not on anymore. It's just reruns, but he was like obsessed with that. So like every, I think it was every Saturday night, I want to say, or there someday during the week at night, because that's a show that can only be shown after a certain time of day. But yeah, my dad was obsessed with it. So every time I think of that theme song, I think about Cops, obviously. Did you guys watch
that? It's a tribute to what an all-time jam that is, that I don't know if I watched 10 seconds of Cops in my life. And I'm like, oh yeah, the Cops intro. I love it.
It was a bit of a forbidden fruit in my household. Yeah. I don't think my parents really liked me watching it, but I remember there was a couple episodes that I can't really recall what exactly happened, but like I remember them being sort of like flag post episodes of it. But man, oh man, what a great show.
Well, I wonder how that show has aged. Yeah, like I'd be curious to go back and watch that. But yeah,
well, I feel like
through a different lens.
I feel like you could have like a drinking game with it now. Like every time somebody gets chased down, oh, or yeah, every time, like my favorite episode ever, and I think they used to show it on the intro of the show while the theme music's playing, and they show all the highlights, I guess, if you will. There's one where a guy, I guess, is hiding underneath a kiddie pool, and the cops come over and flip over this kiddie pool, and the guy's hiding underneath, and I always remember that, and just thinking, like, that's, yeah, that's Cops in a nutshell right there. Just all these crazy things that happen on that show, but I digress. Let's somehow...
I was going to say, let's talk about Dog the Bounty Hunter next.
Oh, yeah, talk about shows that probably don't age very well. That's the hairstyle definitely has not aged very well for Dog the Bounty Hunter. It's crazy to think that that show was so popular.
It was huge.
For so many years.
It was hot in the streets. I watched that a lot.
Yeah. What was
which is depressing.
What was his wife's name?
Beth.
Beth, that's right. Yeah, Beth.
Beth.
There you go. So memory lane with Cops and Dog the Bounty Hunter. Just how we expected to start the Saturday morning. All right, let's somehow move this into the Blue Jays. I'm not sure if there's any segue there, but we do like watching the Blue Jays. I guess there's that right now because of the youth that's been infused to this team, guys. And we saw last night a lot of youngsters heading out to the field for the Blue Jays. Danny Jansen, of course, has been playing, but Lourdes Gurriel was back. Billy McKinney with a home run last night. Ryan Borucki making another start. And, you know, it feels like just a few weeks ago that this team was pretty much unwatchable just prior to the deadline when they still had some of the guys around and they weren't playing particularly well. But since those deals have been made and they've added all these guys, Sam, I mean, it's kind of not must-see television, but it's definitely more watchable than it was just a few weeks ago.
I think it's really important for the Jays to kind of have this end of season, I don't want to say triumph, but just like being somewhat competitive against decent teams. I mean, anyone can sweep the Orioles. I don't think you can take a whole lot from play. That's basically a triple A team. But I think heading into the end of August here, a couple days left in August, and then heading into September, I think, I mean, it's important for fans of the team just to see that in 2019, like if they infuse these guys into the lineup in 2019, that there's a chance that they could be somewhat competitive and relevant. I mean, there's no chance that they're going to be like a Baltimore Orioles next year and just be horrible. I mean, if all these guys are playing next year and then you add a Vlad Jr. into the mix,
yeah,
I mean, there's a potential for them to be a decent team. So I think it's really important for the fan base to see that there is some promise coming up through the minors. And it'd be nice just to see them finish strong and maybe play a little bit of spoiler down the stretch here. I mean, they're probably going to play some teams that have a lot to play for down the road. So I think them bringing up these young guys and sort of showcasing to the fan base has been really good.
Yeah, and I've talked a lot about this throughout the season, guys, just about how, you know, you talk about any fan base that's going through a tough time, and you look at a team like the Baltimore Orioles, and you look at a team like the Kansas City Royals, but when it comes to the Blue Jays and fan bases that, you know, are looking towards the future, you just want to have some hope. I mean, that's all sports fans ever want with their teams. They just want hope. They want to see that there's a future, whether it be bright or not. They want to see something that's going to be coming down the road, and with the Blue Jays right now, you have all these youngsters, Ryan, so I think Blue Jays fans are at least able to get a glimpse and able to see that, okay, maybe this isn't going to take 20 years, as I've heard some Blue Jays talk callers say for this team to get back to prominence like we saw in previous years where it took them 20 years to make it back to the playoffs. I don't think it's going to be that long before the Blue Jays are once again in contention for at the very least a wild card spot.
It's the old sports story. You're selling wins or you're selling hope, as you said. And I think more than ever, there's a sense, you know, fan bases, despite the comments or callers we might see sometimes, have become more sophisticated and more aware of the path for teams to win. So when you see a Houston Astros or a Cubs, the past two champions, their long rebuilds come to fruition. We're not even necessarily talking about something like that with the Blue Jays, but people, I think, have a greater understanding that it can't, it's just not always going to be about winning the day. It is about seeing that long-term progress. And it doesn't even take that much. I mean, it's not like there's anyone out there, like all the Jays guys who we think people are eventually going to drool over, obviously starting with Vlad, we probably won't see this year, right? But you're still looking to those guys who can just even be a piece, and you're just looking for flicker. So it's not like, you know, you're out there hoping that, you know, someone like Barucki is going to go out there and pitch like a Cy Young winner for September. You just want to see some evidence that, as Sam said, when I come back in 2019, there's going to be a little something there to support the guys who really look like they'll push it forward, who are going to remain in the minors for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I really think that the scorched earth rebuild, as you alluded to, with the Astros and the Cubs, I mean, God, those teams that they have now are just so tasty.
Wouldn't you go through some serious ugliness to get like, sustainable that?
Man, what I wouldn't give for the Houston Astros roster to be the Toronto Blue Jays roster. That is just as stacked as it gets. It's an amazing team full of super stud guys that are set up to be competitive for the next 10 to 15 years. Like, I mean, they're going to be one of the best teams in the league for a long time. And you look at the Cubs on the National League side. It's really, really, really good for them, too. And, I mean, they're going to be a contender as well for a really long time. But I just think that it's so hard to go through that with your fan base. I mean, the Cubs, they're a lovable loser forever. With them, they could be as bad as they want for a long time, and they're still going to be one of the most valuable franchises in the MLB. And they're still – I mean, on the Astros side of it, it's definitely a harder thing to go through. I mean, they're not as popular as a team, say, the Cubs. But I really think that if you went through that here where you're like the Orioles, you're losing 110 games for 2 or 3 years or 4 or 5 years, however long it takes to get a roster like that. I really think that could do some damage to the fan base here. I'm not sure. I mean, there's the diehards here that would obviously, I love the Blue Jays. I would go through it. I mean, to have a team like the Cubs or the Astros, I would go through it. I really would. But I definitely, certainly think that there's certain fans that would not go through such a grueling, grueling rebuild.
I think, though, like, if you can survive 20 years of essentially, you know, winning 75 games, that is some rough equivalent of a more condensed time losing way more games, especially when people know it is in service of something. Now, to get back to Rob's original point, we're talking about how the Blue Jays probably don't have to do that. And that's what happens when you find someone like Guerrero, when you sign someone who all of a sudden, you know, you take a bit of a risk, and a few short years later, you know, you've got a guy who's a clear cornerstone. And I think it's always also important to zoom out on the Jays if you want to take the positive side and say, in 2015, when they were the 500 team that went all in and it wound up paying off, everyone thought, well, the downside is you had to deplete the prospect cupboard. Well, has that really set them back? Not really, you know? We're not sitting here saying, well, the cost of getting that team that could have won the World Series in 15 and probably even 16, but didn't, lost in the ALCS, the cost of that was now, you know, they lost this guy, this guy, and this guy who are out there starring. Nah, that's not really how it's gone. And if, you know, any team that kind of went, pushed its chips in like that to say, you know, 3 years later that you have the number one prospect in baseball and a few other guys who you're legit excited about, that was probably a far quicker bounce back regeneration than people may have thought in the moment.
Who is the biggest star from that trade-off? Would it be, I guess it'd be Syndergaard in the offseason, and would that be the biggest guy? Who else did they lose that would be really...
Well, that was really it. I mean, everybody else has kind of had some flashes, but he's the only one, I mean, injuries aside, he's been the most stable one of those players that was moved out. I mean, Travis d'Arnaud was part of that trade, of course, mm-hmm. and he's dealt with a lot of injuries. Yeah, yeah. But Syndergaard's the only guy, really, that has gone on to any sort of prominence. The other guys in those deals really haven't worked out.
Well, and none of the guys at the deadline in 15, when they got Price, when they got Tulowitzki, has anyone from there really sizzled?
I don't think so. I mean, I saw Hoffman have a few flashes with the Rockies last year, but yeah. I'm not really sure. I don't really follow the Rockies too closely.
Yeah, he hasn't been really able to gain any foothold at the major league level yet. So he still could. I mean, it's still sure. early on in his career. But
point is, there's no face slappers in there right now, right?
No, of course not. And this is why, you know, from time to time, you see people on Twitter, and I tend to agree with it as well. I mean, those 2013 trades and the ones they made in 2015, I do those 10 times out of 10 because of the odds that all these prospects are going to work out, or any of them are going to work out, is pretty low for the most part. I mean, we like to think that Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Bo Bichette, and these guys are going to be absolute studs, and it seems like they are going to be, but there is a percentage chance that they don't work out. I think more so for Bo Bichette than Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I think, because he's just an absolute monster, and the stuff that he's doing we just don't see very often. But, you know, the fact that, you know, we got the Blue Jays have a guy in Danny Jansen who was picked in the 15th round. They've, you know, Kevin Pillar is a guy that was picked late in the draft. There's just so many different ways to accumulate talent that I don't think the Blue Jays need to go scorched earth. You look at the Oakland A's right now, and they've had some top draft picks in recent years, but none of those guys have played a role in this year's team, which is just another bunch of ragtag put together Oakland A's teams that are going to, you know, make the playoffs potentially here. And even the team that we're seeing at Rogers Center tonight with the Philadelphia Phillies, they went through a pretty big rebuild as well, and that's turning out pretty strong for that team. But they've also added to it by signing Carlos Santana, making a trade for Asdrubal Cabrera, signing Jake Arrieta. So they're supplementing the young talent that they have by making some trades and dipping into the free agent pool. So, you know, in a couple of years when all the Blue Jays have their young prospects up, if they, you know, make some shrewd deals or they sign some free agents, then this team is going to be once again in the playoff mix, you would have to think.